Welcome back to Home But Not Alone. For those who don't know, in my last episode, we discussed systemic racism in Canada and the danger of not recognizing white privileges. Megan Neve, who's an amazing educator out of Halifax, Nova Scotia, did a great job explaining the importance to break this ongoing cycle with personal experience and data. So if you have not watched episode 2, I highly suggest you do. The world is still responding to the death of George Floyd, who lost his life at the hands of police officers in Minneapolis. Another senseless death caused by police officers and recorded by civilians. However, the gruesome cries of George Floyd as he moans for his last breath caused serious calamity in the black communities across the world, followed by protests, petitions, rioting, and looting. Since January 1st, 2015, 1,252 black men have been shot and killed by the police. I will say that again. 1,252 black people have been killed by police officers in the last 5 years alone, and that does not include the ones who died in the police custody or were killed using other methods. In my last episode, Megan mentioned the lack of scrutiny Canadian police officers have received in the past, as they too need to be held accountable for the way they treat and handle cases and arrests with minorities. Chantel Moore, a member of Tlaoqiat First Nation, was killed on June 4, 2020 in New Brunswick by police officers when they were called to do a wellness check. DeAndre Campbell, who was experiencing a mental health crisis in his home in Toronto, was fatally shot by the Peel Police officers on April the 6th, 2020. So where is the justice? These people who were both suffering a mental health crisis both lost their life from the lack of training of Canadian police officers, which has me thinking, are the men we hire to serve and protect our communities properly educated and trained? In this episode, my guest and I will discuss whether or not police officers should own a 4-year policing degree. So Connie Reynolds is a graduate from Acadia University and has a degree in sociology, and he's currently the founder of Boys to Men Mentoring and working as a barber in Wolfville. Michael Clemens is a former college basketball player and a current assistant coach at Lethbridge College. Mike is an international student from El Paso, Texas, currently enrolled in his Bachelor of Science in Kinesiology at Lethbridge University. So without further ado, welcome to Home But Not Alone.
Thank you guys for being on my show.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir, no problem.
Man, so how have you guys been? How did you guys react when you first saw or heard about the George Floyd incident?
Man, I was so mad. It was just like a lot of Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Sounds like it's echoing. It was just a lot of frustration and rage because it's like another body, another one that's just lost. You know what I'm saying? Like, how much more times we have to be like, yo, he can't breathe.
Right. It's literally how many times it needs to happen for people to react. Like, I saw a tweet where somebody was like, there's black people out here saying black men are dying at the hands of police officer, and there's still people out there saying, but. Like, that's just crazy. How about you, Mike? How did you respond? Being an American, now in Canada, it's a little closer from home to for you than it is for us.
Can you hear me, bro?
Yeah, I can hear you well.
My first feeling, honestly, was just frustration. It's ironic because before all this stuff happened, I was actually doing a lot of African history research and economics and all that. So at first, I was more heartbroken and then frustrated because I felt like it's apparent that we're not equal, but it's like they don't care.
Right.
Even with the protests and everything, they kind of had to react because the whole world and country, the eyes are on them. But it's apparent that we're not equal and they don't care. And I was literally heartbroken. I almost felt depressed for a day because it was like, man, over a fake $10 bill in the store, right? Like, he lost his life for change, bro. So I was frustrated more than anything.
Yeah, no, it's funny that you say that because you said the word depressed, and I know depression is ongoing. You would have to, in order to technically be depressed, let's just say you had depressed symptoms, right? Depression symptoms. And and I know exactly how you felt because it's like, if I don't feel safe when I go out, if the people who are supposed to come to a situation to help make the situation better or control it, like bring it to peace, I don't even trust him at all. Where can I feel safe? You know what I mean? And that just puts you as a black man or as a black mom or anybody in the Black community, you just feel that pressure that, like, where do I belong? Where can I fit? And where can I live freely? So you're not the only one who felt those type of emotions. So, Connie, how about you? How did you feel?
It was definitely a little depression I hit, because it's just like, all right, cool, this happened again. But then it wasn't just him. It was just Ahmad. It was Brianne. It was just, like, it was just 2 weeks of just constant, just, it was just like, wow, this is, it's not getting any. And it's not even like it was getting better. It was just constant, more videos, more news. It's just,
right.
It's overwhelming for sure.
Right. So, coming off from the George Floyd incident, I'm sure we've all had a fair experiences with the cops. You guys want to share some of your experiences, good or bad, with police officers? And Michael, you've been in America. I also live in America as well, so we can maybe share experiences from both.
Yeah, well, me personally, I live in El Paso, which is predominantly Hispanic. So it's not terrible there, but I have had experiences where I've been pulled over in my car strictly because of the car I was driving and where I was driving through. You know, I'm driving through a neighborhood I actually went to school in, and I was pulled over. And I knew I was going to get pulled over just because I seen the cop, but I didn't do anything. And I asked him, like, basically, why are you pulling me over? He was just like, do you go to school here? And I was like, nah, I used to. I graduated. I'm just taking a shortcut because it's lunchtime. I'm not trying to hit traffic. And he was basically trying to say, like, well, don't come through here again. If you come through here again, I'm sure I can find something, you know, to catch you on. And I kind of got upset because I'm like, what do you mean? And I started arguing with him back and forth. He was like, I'm sure I can find something on you right now that, you know, I can book you for and take you in for. And it wasn't a big deal, but it just made me realize, like, if I had been another race, this might not have happened. So,
right. I mean, it is a big deal. Our whole life, we keep telling ourselves it's not a big deal. It's not a big deal. But like you just said at the end, it's like, if I was another race, it probably wouldn't have happened, right? So the fact that you do feel like you are being discriminated on, right? It is a big deal. And I think it's time for us to be like, acknowledge the fact that, like, fuck you, like, that wasn't right. And you shouldn't be doing this shit. Cause like I told in my last episode as well, I got pulled over in front of my own house a few times in Wolfville, leaving the library out of all places, right? Yep. So I got a big bag. I'm scared as hell. Like, he's like, don't get out your car. I got a big bag on my passenger seat, right? Mm-hmm. And they ask you what's in the bag. And I'm like, books. What do you think is in the bag? With my hands on my steering wheel, like, I'm telling you, it's just books. Please believe me, because you just don't ever know, right? And it's like, we don't feel safe at the hands of any of these guys. And like I said in my last episode, this guy has a gun. I ain't got time to act up. You know what I mean? Like, I'm going to – so it's kind of like, if I don't trust him, I'm not going to act up. So he has the word, like, oh, he tried to attack me. So like I said, I didn't get to talk much about it on my last episode. I waited till the next day, maybe the day after, and I went to see a Black officer in the region, and I told him, you cannot let this happen, because you're just as bad as them, right? It's like, there's some bad apples, but some are good. No, like, if you're knowing this is happening, we're all just as bad. So how about you, Sakani? We went to the same university. You've had your fair share experience, and you just recently got pulled over by the cops for running in a neighborhood. So talk to us about that real quick.
Man, in Wolfville, you get pulled over, like, it's like you expect it, which is terrible. You know what I'm saying? No matter what car you're driving, like, I was driving a hoopty.
Right.
all the time. Just like, oh yeah, whose car is this? It's not in your name or something. Even though the car is fully licensed, you always, something's happening. You get pulled over just for breathing. I got pulled over with my little man at a bus station, man, at nighttime. Like, what do you think I'm doing? Right. I was like, what are you doing? So I know you have drugs on you. I'm like, what? with a 4-year-old, that makes sense?
It doesn't make sense.
No, it's just like, the logic is just countless. There's so many times where you experience like police just being dicks for no reason.
Right.
12 Division in Malton and like Rexdale in Toronto, they're like, they're known for that. They like, the first time I got pulled over by a cop, I was like 8 years old.
That's crazy. Tell us.
You know what I mean? They pulled me over for like, they said, they searched my bag, me and my older brother, and said, yeah, you guys are selling drugs while we're walking to school. I was like, you don't know what drugs is. Mm-hmm. The only drugs you know is the multivitamins that you get in the morning.
Facts.
it's just crazy. It's just like things like that. We just let it go in the community all the time because it's just like, oh, it's just another incident. There's not much you could do.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Time's gone still.
Man, okay, so let's talk about this real quick. We are not police expert. I have a few friends who are in the force. Michael, your father was in the military, correct?
Yes.
So you might be a little more familiar with the side of like police and policing and stuff. But the current I want you guys to give me your personal opinions on the requirement to be a police officer in Nova Scotia. And later on, I'm going to pull up something, the requirements to be a police officer in America, which I find to be a little hilarious, all right? So, no, there's one fact. It's like police officers need to be over a certain height. And I thought that was really funny. I really thought that was funny. All right, so in Nova Scotia, right, here are the requirements to be a police officer. You have to be 19 years old to attend a police recruit training. Talk to me about that. You have to be 19 years old. Like the minimum age to be a police officer is 19 years old. Does that make sense to you guys? How do you guys feel about that?
Not at all. Because those 19-year-olds are those country guys that have just never experienced no community, don't know how to talk to people, don't know anything. And they're the same ones that are going to be put up into the black communities.
Right.
They don't know how to act, and they're always trigger happy.
Mm-hmm. How about you, Mike? How do you feel?
I feel the same. Like at 19, with no educational background in a certain field, like, you haven't even been exposed to people outside your neighborhood, let alone we're going to prepare you to go serve and protect people that don't look like you or talk like you. That's crazy to me.
It's so crazy. Like, think about it. Think about all the crucial professions you would be uncomfortable with a 19-year-old holding that position. Think about that, right? A pilot. Imagine you walk into a plane, there's 700 people on that plane, and you see a 19-year-old pilot. How comfortable are you? None. Zero. Imagine you're super sick, you go to the doctor, you see a 19-year-old doctor.
Yeah.
It doesn't make sense. A lawyer? So here's the thing about, I love the fact that they say the minimum age to be in the police force, 19-year-old. Because think about that. A lawyer who needs to go for about 6 years of education, right? 6 to 8 years of education just to have a deep understanding of the law itself, right? To represent other people, to defend people. Just right there from graduating high school and stuff, your minimum age would be like 24, 25, right? So now you're telling me this 19-year-old, right, is able to almost do the same thing with more power, you know what I mean? Get to arrest people? That does not make sense to me. Or even a psychologist, right? Think about all the access learning a psychologist needs to learn. So I think that's pretty crazy. Second is citizenship, right? How do you get a kid, like if you're going to be a police officer in Nova Scotia, you need to be a Canadian citizenship. A Canadian citizen, how do you guys feel about that?
I mean, being a citizen is not bad, but there's immigrants that come here that would want to serve and protect as well, right?
Right.
If they're on the way to being a citizen, then why can't they? Why can't they apply? What if that was their profession back home and they have so much more experience? You know what I'm saying?
Exactly, right? And I think that's crazy. Imagine like somebody who their fiance, right, or their husband or the wife moved to Canada for a particular reason, maybe at work, and they're like, well, I used to be a police officer and I can't even do the same thing. And they were a great police officer where they're coming from, right? To me, that doesn't make sense. It's like, if you have the knowledge, if you have the required skills, if you have the background and the proven facts that you can do your job well, I don't care if you're a Canadian citizen or not. I just need you to protect and serve. You know what I mean? Those are the requirements to me to be a police officer. So, yeah, sure, you need to be a Canadian citizen. No, you're probably missing out on a lot of good people with ethical backgrounds. Because if you're going from like Africa or you're going from America, or you're going from any other country and you come somewhere new, you have so much more. The culture you've been around, right?
Yep. It's just crazy.
It's so much more, right? So. Next one is education, grade 12 with academics. It says grade 12 with academic post-secondary level course in math and English.
That's it? Wow.
And then it says, no, preference is often given to individuals who has post-secondary education. So I have a friend in Ontario who is a police officer, and he said that about 90% of the people that go into a police academy are have a four-year degree. And I'm like, good, but it's a four-year degree in what? And, right? It's like, so you're telling me somebody with a music degree cannot be a police officer when for the past 4 years in university, they had intensive learning on
music
on another job, like on another subject, right? So how do you guys feel about that?
Stupid, honestly. I'm not even wasting time. It's stupid because if you take it in, all these, you have no experience. Even when you want a job, you have to have at least 5 years of experience. Mm-hmm. But they just put you in, not even just say, oh, yep, I'm going to give you, you have minimum education. When I finished high school, I was not prepared to do anything.
Mm-hmm.
I was simply like, where am I going? Am I going to work or am I going to, what am I doing?
Right.
If it wasn't for sports, I would just be like, oh, okay, cool. I'll figure something else out. But for you to go out to high school and say, yeah, that's all I need. Let's go arrest somebody.
See, the thing I would touch on it a little bit later too is the fact that you only need a minimum of a grade 12 academic, right, education is very troublesome because doctors, lawyers, pilots, like a financial analyst, an accountant, right? Those are careers. Those are careers of choice. Those are careers like I need to go to school for 4 years, do very well in order to be accepted in those programs. Does that make sense? You guys hear me? And compared to a police officer, it's a career that can be a backup option. So when when something becomes a backup option, you do not get the elites. You know what I mean? So if doctors were just backup options for everybody, we wouldn't have the best doctors we can have because it's not even as competitive as it can be, right? Mm-hmm. So people are like, I want to be a professional athlete. If it doesn't work, I'm going to be a police officer, right? It's a backup option. And the fact that not just having that minimum grade 12, the triage of good apples and bad apples, right, is completely lost. All right, so let me jump to the next one. The next one is good health, good general health, which is understanding. Have a valid driver's license, I would hope. But I've seen worse cops. Anyway, so swimming, that pisses me off. You know, as black men, the fact that they have a requirement that says you must achieve a level recognized from the Life Saving Society known as the Bronze Medallion Award or the Water Rescue for First Responder Program. That drives me nuts, right? Because people
Why is that a requirement?
Exactly. But what drives me nuts is that the fact that people from African descent, right, are known to have different mass density, and we're known to not be, black people are known to be sinkers and not floaters, all right? So right there, if a black person was to see that, I'm like, man, I'm genetically can't even float and I'm not a good swimmer, they can't even apply to be a police officer. You know what I mean? There's a reason why we don't see black people in freaking the Olympics. Black people are not born swimmers. They're not born floaters. So the fact that's there kind of pisses me off. And to answer your question, Sakani, I think it's the fact that if you were to save a, you need to know CPR and other things as a police officer. And I'm assuming.
So understand what I say. If that's your requirement, that's something that you could be taught as a course. You know what I'm saying? Because when you're doing swimming, it's a lot of people don't swim. But when you're swimming, there's all these courses. And if you're doing life alert, you could be taught that within the span of your training, learning everything else. You know right. So for that to be a requirement, it's kind of sticky. It's just like that's something you could be taught, just like you're learning your book, you're learning the laws.
Straight up.
Yeah, that doesn't make much sense. And to go back to the question that I didn't get to answer, the other one about the four-year degree, like, okay, that's like me being a basketball player or trying to go to the NBA and saying, well, I have 4 years of college soccer experience. Can I go try for the NBA? It doesn't make much sense. But back to the education piece, like, it just doesn't make much sense to me. It's kind of like a dumb stipulation. Like, you telling us to go to college, but to be I want to go into one profession, but I don't need the background knowledge in the one profession. I just got to go there and be there and then show you I'm there. And if you're going to depend on your police training to prepare me for the real world, then why are you making a requirement like swimming? Like, that's something you could teach me, like Sakani said. But the other stuff, that has to be taught by professionals in that field.
Right.
That doesn't make much sense to me at all.
It really doesn't. And then, so there's two more things that I pulled out that, three more things, actually. The next one is letters of reference. Sure, understandable. I would hope so, to be honest. Yeah. ability to type 25 words per minute. Sure. I thought that was interesting. Then this one is the one that ticked me off the most. It says this: testing. Within 6 months prior to being accepted to the police recruiting training program, you will have to undergo evaluation for aptitude, ability, and psychological assessment. There is little or nothing additional you can do to prepare for this testing, but there is nothing to fear. These tests are used to ensure you have the aptitude and personality to carry out the tasks and duties that are assigned to police officers. Listen, Sakani, I just saw you react. Listen, I'm going to repeat the part that stresses me. It says, there is little or nothing additional you can do to prepare for this testing. Hold up. So doctors take the MCAT, right?
Lawyers take the MCAT.
And lawyers take the LSAT.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, which both require a gruesome amount of studying, but the man's supposed to protect my neighborhood, to protect my safety. The ones equipped with the most fatal weapons do not need to take such gruesome tests. You got me fucked up. That doesn't make any sense. So this is where we mix the good apples and the bad apple. The triage to differentiate the two isn't intensive enough. You know what I mean? So a test to separate the elite, well, who could be elite police officer, is a test you can't even prepare for. That does not make sense. All right, man. I
think what's scary about that too is 6 months and you're getting tested. That's half a year worth of work, and now you're able to get evaluated. And then the next step is you're a police officer. That's terrifying to me, bro.
Mm-hmm.
That's terrifying to me, but yeah, man, it's bad. It's bad.
That's crazy. You got a whole trial run.
It's honestly like I can't even wrap my head around about the, and to some people they might be like, oh, that sounds pretty gruesome. It sounds like a lot of things you need to do. Like, the requirements seem strict, but the requirements are not uniform. You know what I mean? It's like this person can get a four-year degree in arts, or this person can get a four-year degree in science, or this person can get a four-year degree in, let's say, kinesiology or whatever it is, right? So he's athletic. He knows his background and things, right? But, right, it's when they go to police academy, they all have different roots, a different background. You know what I mean? Does that make sense? So that's why I can't wrap my head around the fact that Yeah, if you guys want to say anything, say it.
Well, the psychological testing and stuff, I don't know how you make that an objective test, and then you can like determine he can or can't. Like, everybody's background is different, and if you can't prepare for the test, then I don't understand what is the test used for. That's what would be my first question. Like, I don't understand. A psychological evaluation does not mean I'm not fit to be a police officer. I may just have some biases, or I may just have some trauma I have to deal with, but I don't think that should disqualify you from being a police officer.
Mm-hmm. Do you, Sakani, anything to add?
Honestly, I don't. That one is hard. That one is sticky, because it's just like, that's all you need. So it's just the basic, there's no right or wrong answer. It's just, okay, cool. Anyone can get it. So you could be like, you have no intention of being a good person at all. You could just literally say, yep. There's no you can't prepare for it. So it's just, right, I'm just going to bullshit this.
Exactly. Which I find to be, it's baffling, honestly. So the next thing that they have is a personal interview with a background check. Fuck, like I said, I hope so. All right. Like, those things are obvious. And then the last one is ethics and integrity evaluation. And here's what it says. All right. Tests the veracity of your police recruitment application. Veracity means the truthfulness of your responses in a questionnaire you will be asked to complete on your lifestyle and personal history. Such a questionnaire will ask you questions like, did you ever take illegal drugs? Your responses or answers are commonly referred to as disclosed or admission. So this ethics and integrity evaluation test is how honest how you respond into real life situation. I think it's a interesting test, but like, again, I say, is that, are these two, the prior testing and this one, the only testing you guys do to check somebody's knowledge, psychological, like, talk to me, man. I don't get it. What do you guys get from that?
I asked someone how long that test was. They said it was like 16 questions.
Really?
Yeah. So it's like, this is basing you to protect and serve everybody. 16 questions. If you get them wrong, you're done. All right. You know what I'm saying? But if you get them right, then you're like, okay, you tell them what you want to hear.
Mm.
Then you can get through. And there's people who are trying to do the test. They're telling the ways other people how to cheat the test. So the people who are getting through with the thin picking, it's just open game for them.
Right. Because there are some other people are telling them what to answer.
Right.
Mike, yeah, what do you think?
I think ethics and integrity are so subjective that if you're going to test for that, you have to give somebody the background training. So when they come out of that, you know that they have a baseline understanding of what it should look like. But mm-hmm. you can't tell me I'm going to come in here and do some police training, which is mainly physical for 6 months. And then you're going to test my moral and ethics and integrity. And then base that on whether I should be a police officer or not. That's crazy to me. That is crazy. Like, who is the test valid enough for you to say my ethics and morals are worth me being a police officer? How can you prove the validity of that test?
Right.
So,
man. Okay. So here's the next thing. All right. So this is one for the American, because I know, Mike, you're American, and I went to school in America, and I thought this was interesting. It says, nearly all local police agencies in the United States have some kind of education requirement as part of their hiring standards. 82% majority of local police agencies require that application have a high school diploma, while 6% require some credits but no degree.
Wow.
9% require a two-year degree, and 1% require a four-year degree. So 1% of the police force in America has a four-year degree. Tell me that baffles that. Isn't that crazy?
It's crazy, but it lets me know that when the police were created and established in America, what the purpose was. It wasn't mm-hmm. meant to protect and serve everybody. It wasn't.
Nope.
Right. And that, I think those requirements, it shows you exactly what it's meant to. They were never meant to be highly educated people that are really there to de-escalate situations. Mm-hmm. They weren't. That's just the truth about it. And that proves it right there.
So, Connie, you have anything to add?
No, just to clarify, as he's saying, police was built to be slave catchers, right? So for them to be
Preach.
Anything but biased towards Black people or minorities, what do you expect? This is what they came in for.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to share my screen for a second just to show you guys where I got this this information. And look at this one, right? It says another requirement, right? So the age, minimum age in America is 21, so the legal age. I understand that. The education portion is what I just talked to you guys about. Height and weight, all right? So some agencies require the applicants weigh at least 150 pounds and measure 5'8 or taller. This requirement had an exclusionary effect on women and some racial ethnic backgrounds. Think about that, right? So there are other people from like other ethnicities, like Asian Americans, who are generally shorter than the average American, right? Doesn't that discriminate? Doesn't that stop them from actually being a police officer, right? If they genetically cannot even enter the police force.
Yep.
Tell me how crazy that is. Like, what? The more you look into it, the more you realize how it is created to keep a certain group in power.
Is that what state is that, or is that just general?
That was in general America.
I think information like that lets me know that they created these laws so that they can get white males to be police officers. That's what the laws were created for. That's why there's very minimum requirements, because they didn't have to get an education to be successful in America back then. They knew that, right? Mm-hmm. So that's why the requirements are so minimal. Like, and they kind of, they throw the height in there. So you think about Mexicans, you think about Asians, even some mm-hmm. black people, like, you start weeding people out with all these little loopholes in there, right?
Yep.
Man. So, yeah, that's how I feel about the current policeman requirement. Do you guys know about anything else or any other things? I saw this awesome picture. It was like, to be a hairstylist, a barber, it requires mm-hmm. more months of training than it does to be a police officer.
No, it's 15,000 hours to be legally attain a barber license in Nova Scotia.
That's crazy.
Why is it like 800? I think the number I seen was 800 just to become a police. And I don't have a gun. So like, this is what you're telling me.
Right. I mean, you know, you guys do crazy things, but like,
you save lives, but not like yeah, that.
Right.
But nah, it's crazy.
Mike, do you have anything to add on that subject before we move on into why they should have a 4-year policing degree?
I can go on. I don't want to ramble and go on.
Nah, bro, go crazy. Go crazy. That's what we're here for.
Oh, man, these white people, man. Here's my thing. I've been educating myself from people that have the knowledge that I didn't have. So me looking at the situation, I'm mad at the police brutality, but I understand that it's a reflection of the economic status of our people. Like, bro, mm-hmm. if they were to go out and kill 20 black people tomorrow, what could we do besides march? We don't own nothing. We have no resources. We have no power. Seriously.
I'm being honest, dude. Bro, this room just got a lot brighter, bro. Holy fuck.
No. I'm being serious, though. Like, if they, all we can do is march, and instead of marching, like, obviously, I was with the protesting and the rioting strictly for the fact to get justice for Breonna Taylor and George Floyd, strictly for those officers to get arrested. But all that civil rights, and we equal, you can't be equal in a race-based society where the wealth is unequal and the resources, it's unequal distribution. We're never going to be equal. So me looking at the police brutality, it's like, on one hand, I hate it because I'm a black man, my family's black. So when I go out in public, I'm more scared of the police than I am, you know, calling them for help. I don't call them unless I absolutely have to. But I understand that it's a deep-seated issue that is bigger than just, oh, equality. We're never going to be equal, bro. Not in America. It's built on racism, so how can we ever be equal? It's just not going to happen. So I'm frustrated at it, but I'm more frustrated at how they try to, like, they turn the protest and then they try to flip the script and saying the riots and all this other shit to take away from what we're really talking about, right? So I can go on and on, but...
No, please go on and on. Like, what you're saying are things that I've never thought about. You shed light on a subject that that never came across. So like,
okay, well, think about it like this. When we got out of slavery, we owned one half of 1% of the wealth. 200 years later in 2020, it's the same thing, bro. We still only own one half of 1%. Why do you think you don't see them killing no Jews, Italians, and Chinese? Why not? Because they have they have economic bases in the country. We don't. So think about it. If the resources were to start being depleted in America and they start to get rid of the non-producers, well, you think about who are the non-producers in America. Black people are. All we got is sweat equity. We play football, basketball, entertainment, but we don't own no label companies. We don't own media companies.
Yo, Mike, preach it. This guy said sweat equity.
Bro, think about it, bro. We're almost 70% of the NFL is black, and there's two minority owners. One is American Pakistani, and one's a woman. No black owners. Bro, come on. Like, it's a lot bigger than just police brutality. That's just a reflection of the entire system. So that's why when I look at the riots, do I agree with them? I think it's good, but I like it from the standpoint that more black people that were unaware of the systematic oppression and racism, they're starting to be like, well, yeah, well, why is it just us? Bro, think about it. No other race is getting killed like this. Nobody, 60% of the prisons is African-American, bro. Come on, bro. Mm-hmm. Come on, man. Like, it's not by accident that we're the only ones getting killed. And we can march all the fuck we want, but until we actually start developing some resources and an economic base, we're in trouble, bro.
But how can we start developing resources if we're not if they don't even give us the opportunity to get those resources, to start those resources, right?
The same way that everyone else is doing it. All other cultures, they band together.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. They band together to, if you want to get money, you want to build up this house, 10 people live in this house, build it up. That's it. We're moving up. The next 10 people, that's how they do every business. Why can't we do that at the same time?
Wait. But listen to this. So do not forget how Africville in Nova Scotia, right? Was built, right? So black people come together. They create their own booming community. What happens? The white men get scared. The white men get scared and comes in and takes it down, right? So is it the fact that we've never had, that we've not doing it? Or is it the fact that we're trying doing it and they're breaking it down? You know, we're building. Yeah.
See, here's the thing. We were so busy trying to get integrated that we stopped focusing on us. Like, bro, before all the integration stuff, we had our own businesses, right? Don't get it twisted. They burned the shit down. But it's like, we started marching for equality to be integrated with them, and they just found other ways to hide it, right? So that's why stuff like mass incarceration, you look at the prison industry, that's a multi-million dollar industry.
Billion.
That's free slavery. What are you talking about?
That's exactly
this.
They just switched it and made it look like, oh, yeah, you're a criminal? Well, come here. You still picking that cotton.
Bro, you think about all the laws they put in place. They're the ones that put drugs in the black and brown communities, and now they want to make all these strict laws and send people to prison. And
Listen to this. This is something that I got from the movie 13th, right? And I had to write it down because I was astonished. It says crack. Okay, so crack was found in poor African American, Hispanic, and Latino community, right? Inner city, cocaine, and suburban part of towns, right? Both a drug, but sentences were different. Crack had a harsher sentence than cocaine. How does that make sense? So listen to this. The same amount of time for prison for 1 ounce of crack that you got for 100 ounces of cocaine.
Mm-hmm.
I'm saying that again. The same amount of time for prison for 1 ounce of crack that you got for 100 ounces of cocaine.
Because they knew crack was in the black community.
Exactly.
How did crack get there?
And I'll tell you something interesting about drugs. The drugs that you find in recreational, I mean, the alkaloids that you find in recreational drugs, the melanin in our cells is more apt to that. So we get addicted to drugs quicker than any other race, and it's harder for us to get off. So when they put it in our community, it's like, it's basically like a ticking time bomb. We gravitate towards it. It's harder for us to get off it and stay off it, right? Mm-hmm. So it's deep, bro. It's real deep. And then that's when they start going to war on drugs. Reagan, the war on drugs. We got to stop this. It's like the only people that were getting really busted for drugs were black people. So now you put us into prison. Now you get free labor. The only way the prison system works is if they're filled up. You know what I'm saying?
Right, exactly.
That's the only way it works. You got people, the phone company that installs the phones in the prison, they get money. The doctors that are hired by whatever company they work for, they get money. Mm-hmm. The people that issue the uniforms in prison, they get money. We talking big money.
But like, it's like clothing industry, farming industries, right? Everybody's getting money. So it's like, if there's no prisoner, who's doing that free labor? That's crazy profit. You know what I mean? So it's kind of like we are stuck in the scheme that is forcing us or pushing us closer and closer to prison, right? So it's making no sense. So Michael, if you got more, drop it on us, bro. Please keep going.
No, yeah, I'm just saying, like, to go back to your question to how do we fix it, I think the first thing we got to do is we all have to have the same understanding of how we got to this position. How we got to this in 2020, this has all been built and evolved over time. That's number one. Number two, we got to start spending and buying black. I'll be the first person to say I didn't always do that. Bro, like, you got people out here wearing Ralph Lauren, Gucci, all this other stuff. It's like, bro, them people give a damn about you. Gucci made a goddamn a monkey mask on a sweater and then apologize, and people rocking Gucci a month later. Mm-hmm. So I'm saying, like, bro, we don't spend money with each other. I was looking at something. The Jewish community, their money bounces between other Jews 16 to 18 times before it reaches the regular market. Black people doesn't even bounce once or twice. It's bad, bro. It's like we're trying to fight a war, but we have no leverage. You feel me? Mm-hmm. We have no leverage. So I think it starts with everybody's got to I don't want to say everybody's got to be an entrepreneur, but it's going to start on the economic level. We have to start going to our HBCUs. We're going to have to start buying black, spending black. Our millionaires and billionaires, like, I'll give you an example, LeBron with the I Promise School. It's dope, but it's a charter school, which means it's he put up 25% of the money, and then the rest of the money is put up by the public, by the government of Cleveland. So realistically, whenever they want to say shut it down, they could shut it down. He don't own that school. So it's really about ownership, man. We have no leverage. If shit were to go to hell, they could kill 20 people tomorrow. We are in trouble, bro. That's why it's like, I'm cool with fighting the police brutality, but while we're fighting this little battle, they're behind the scenes trying to win the war, and they're winning. That's why this election is crucial this year, bro. It's fucking crucial. It's crucial.
You are taking how convenient it just, everyone just got released from COVID and just in time to vote.
Man, it's and here's the thing. I was listening to some people that know what they're talking about. I think the black people see the Republican and Democrats. They don't care about the black people. They're just trying to say what we want to hear, and then we get their vote. What we got to do is we got to disassociate ourselves from both. Come together and be. We're not gonna tell y'all who we voting for, and we're gonna say, well, whoever is gonna give us the most benefits or look out for black people, that's who we're gonna give our vote to. But I think we should all do that. We should be our separate party, independent party, and then we'll vote based on who's gonna give us what. But don't tell them who we're voting for, because the Democrats don't fuck with us neither. So that's just my suggestion based off the stuff I've learned and listening to people that know what they're talking about. But hey, that's just me. You feel me?
Mm-hmm. So, Con, do you have anything to add?
Not on that part. I try to avoid politics, my guy. Politics is just a loophole, because I read something that said that everyone's mad at Donald Trump, right?
Mm-hmm.
Which is cool. He's a dickhead. But all the people in the Senate, they've been in there for 41 years, 55 years, and no one's saying anything about them. They're just worried about this orange Oompa Loompa that you have leading this country.
Mm-hmm.
Yo, Mitt Romney's been on politics for 45 years? 45 years.
Mm-hmm.
Doing the same old bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
And no one's saying nothing. No one's changing nothing. All you want to do is Donald Trump. Donald Trump really can't do nothing without them.
Right.
He's just bad because he divides us socially.
Oh, that's 100%. He's special.
No president really has power. Like, Obama didn't do nothing for black people. He did more for immigrants than he did black people. So it's not really the president. It's just more of like, he divides us socially, which makes it so much harder of a battle to even try to fight.
Exactly. Right.
Nah, I like all of this. I like this conversation. I love where it's headed. So Mike, if you have anything before we move on, or Sakani before we move on, let me know. No? All right. So, The next topic, we're going to go back into the police force and their lack of what we believe to be education and training to become a police officer, right? So currently, so let's talk about why a four-year policing degree should be a requirement for police academy. Me, personally, one of the main facts is the fact that currently it is extremely, they have inconsistent training. Like we mentioned earlier, everybody can get a four-year degree, and then they are more likely to get. It doesn't make sense, right? If in my eyes, what I believe and what I think how it should go is the fact that police officers should have a four-year degree that includes psychology, philosophy, ethics, law, physical training, right? Because if a police officer is a first responder, right, and he shows up to the scene and he doesn't know the difference between mania and hypermania, right? Or he doesn't know the difference between a bipolar disease or a schizophrenia, like, and he doesn't not knowing to the core where he can fully write it and discuss it, I don't want you as a first responder, because the only thing you remember is being in such, if you only have little training, let's say 8-month training, and you get into a situation, it's scary, right? If somebody's on a manic episode, they have more energy, they're not communicating right, you might think they are dangerous, okay? So you arrive in that position and you're like, man, what did I learn week 4, right? Not even year 2. It's literally, they probably think week 4, right? They're like, what did I learn? And next thing you know, the only thing they do is aggression, right? Pull up their weapon, make it stop right now, right? As a first responder, instead of actually dealing, they are not, they don't have, they don't have even extreme communication skill, it seems like, right?
You know, talk to me about talking that. On that point, bro, their reaction to just pull a trigger is actually madness. Because if you do anything else, military, you have a 7-step process before you can even get lethal.
Seven-step process before you can get lethal.
Before you can even get lethal. Before you're allowed to get lethal.
Talk to me. Do you know them?
How much warning shots, body shots. You communicate bad communication. You can shoot other things, and then at the end, after if all that fails, then you can only kill. But the police is just like, yeah, let me just pull this.
But see, that's because their training is different. And I think if you don't require a 4-year degree, you have to increase the training to at least 2-3 years to where they're mandatory to take maybe not all those classes, but god dang, bro, they have to know how to deal with people with different, you know, from different backgrounds and different.
Absolutely. You got to do some community events. Like,
you have to.
You have to know your community.
But here's the thing, though, is that a lot of people say guys who go to Ivy League schools are certain. They're like dickheads, right? They're frat guys at like Harvard or Columbia. They think and act a certain way. Tell me why. It's because of culture, okay? Mm. So now these people get a 4-year degree from any place, right? And then they go into a 8-month police academy, and they're surrounded by the same minded type of individual, right? So they're not entering this culture, and that's the issue. So if the fact that if you had a 4-year degree, not Acadia. Why? Not a school like Acadia, because the culture, the ethnicity, the background is not diverse enough. You would need a 4-year policing degree, need to be in schools like Carleton. I mean, like schools like University of Ottawa, schools like University of Toronto, right? Where they're going to be, every single class they're going to take, whether it's psychology, philosophy, ethics, they will be in groups and with people from a diverse background, right? They need to grow up with people with a diverse background, hear where they're coming from, and they're able to share their thoughts. That's how I feel the fact that by not having these people into a 4-year degree, to go through university life, see different ethnicities, that's where they fail. That's where I think they fail.
Well, I think the 4-year degree, if you made the 4-year degree the same for everybody, then everybody would have the same amount of education. Exactly. And to add to that, I think they need to take a criminal diversity class too, to understand how dealing with certain groups of people has been in the past. They should have to do updated training too. So like, for example, the Minnesota Police Department, their next time they do like an updated training, they need to talk about what exactly happened in that situation, and they need to draw clear lines on what's acceptable and what's not, because there's no 4-year degree in place, everybody has different interpretation of the law. And it really should be, even though the law changes, the enforcement of the law should not.
Exactly. You know, it's crazy. Other countries like Denmark, Newmark, they all have a 4-year program. And their police violence is down to like a handful, if they have any, right? So it's obviously their system works. We see their system. It's been tested. Why are we not following suit? What are we doing?
All right, so listen to this, all right? So I work for the NSCDA, and part of my job is creating training content, right? And my training partner, Michael Bowen, shout out to Mike, we come up with training material for other people, right? Mm-hmm. So today he told me about an exercise that I thought was fascinating, all right? So I'm gonna try it with you guys, and you guys will get the point, all right? So I'm going to ask you guys, give me the 4 steps into you making a fry egg, all right? The 4 steps. Michael, if you were to make a fry egg, tell me the 4 steps you would take.
Gather your materials.
The four steps to actually cook the egg?
Yeah. Actually, you know what? Do you have a piece of paper nearby?
Yeah.
All right, write it down. So, Connie, you write yours down. That way you guys don't even get to hear your answers. All right, so, Connie, can you read me your 4, man?
Gather materials, heat the oil in the pan, crack the eggs, season to your preference, take it out of the pan and enjoy.
Perfect. All right, Michael, can you give me your 4?
Gather materials, heat pan, grease pan, fry the eggs.
Okay, so wait a minute. Where did you guys get the eggs from?
I gathered the materials from the fridge.
Yeah.
But where did they come from before the fridge? They had to come from another place, right? You guys had to go to the grocery store and actually get the eggs, right? So that's how I would have started. I would have said, well, I'm going to the grocery store, grabbing my eggs. That's step one, right? So as you can see, even though it's very similar, right, we all have a different process of how we do the same thing. Does that make sense? And the fact that the police force, they're asking people to do the same thing, but everybody's got a different process of actually doing it. That's where the issue is. You feel me? So that's where it's like, if they had a 4-year degree where it was uniform, where it was in sync, it was the same, right? Then you know that when you call a police officer, you know what you're getting. It's like every fucking time I open a bag of potatoes, I know I have 8 bad potatoes in there, but really I'm going to have 25 bad. When you get a police officer, it shouldn't be like a fucking damn bag of potatoes. You got to be like, I open this and it look like they are crisp. You feel me? And that's the issue. It's like, we are afraid to call police officers when a situation goes bad because they might turn up on me. I'm here asking for help. They might turn up on me because they didn't get the proper training that they should have got. And that's the issue. It's like, they need a 4-year degree. I believe they need a 4-year degree that's going to make them uniform, that's going to make them believe the same way. And then when it comes to getting to police academy, it's actually a rigorous test. It could call me the PCAT. I don't fucking care what it's called, but it has to be something that separates the best and the good, because we can't have good in this profession.
I think to go further on what you said, not only does the education need to be uniform, I think the training needs to be the same. I was doing some research on Texas, and it was like the training that they do in San Antonio is not the same as Houston. So if I'm somebody who needs to call the police, or I get pulled over by the police, their training is different in 2 different spots. So I don't know how to properly respond, so I don't, you know, essentially get killed.
Right.
It's a force to be reckoned with, right? So if you're having a force, a defense force, no matter what it is, you guys all have to be united. Understand the same training, because you got to understand that this person got your back in this situation. Right? If they're dealing with any issues, and then one person is actually trained and understands how to break down or talk to someone or educate or communicate, so to diffuse the situation instead of just getting going there trigger happy and starting laying bodies.
It's a fact. Here's the thing, though. Here's the beauty about what could happen if police officers officially had policing degree, right? Is the fact that when you get a business degree, Sakani, right, at Acadia, let's say, what are your options? A business degree, accounting. You can have a business accounting, data analyst, right? You can have finance. There's subcategories.
Exactly.
So when, if you were to have a four-year policing degree, you could have you could have somebody who's a mediator. What's the name when somebody somebody who's a first responder who comes in to communicate with people, right? You could have police officers who have subcategories, you know what I mean? Like a major in policing with a minor in communication. So when you hear somebody's like, I think this, we need a wellness check, you're not going to send somebody who has no more in-depth background on psychology to go do a wellness check. What does he know, right? I have a gun, shut the fuck up.
You're gonna have that little 20 something year old never left his county hit you with a wellness check,
right? With what background, you know?
What do you know about my mental health? What do you know about any mental health, right?
Exactly. And it's kind of like, that's the reason why it's like, man, if you have a 4-year degree, you can then focus on other parts. Talk to me, Mike. I see you thinking.
It's tough because universities are usually like, it's state to state, right? So the requirements that I might need a policing degree in Florida is not the same as Texas. So that's where, for me, it's like, I think you should have to take a certain core class. Like, these are the classes you have to take in order to even move on to the next stage. Like, you have to take the psychology class. You have to take that.
100%. No, I agree with you. And because state to state in America are a lot different, like state laws are a lot different. Just like the law for protect your own ground in Florida, it's not everywhere else. So then you should have, obviously you're going to have law and ethic classes, but the core thing, psychology, you need a core. But then you need, if you're going to have a school in Iowa, you're going to need courses that's going to be specific and also open, because you don't want to just go to school in Iowa and work there your whole life, probably not, you know what I mean?
No.
But you're going to need training on those on your specific state as well. So, and you know what I like the most too, though? I don't know. I should have done that before, but I should. Do you guys know the salary of a police officer?
60 starts off at 65 in Canada, no? 65 plus, and then it goes up.
59,000 to 98,000. Okay. What's the salary of a doctor?
Shit. 100 grand.
Salary of a doctor is about 294,000. That's a fucking big difference. All right. So you're telling me if all the money, billions of dollars are invested in police officers, millions, right? In police officer, if you were like, well, get that four-year degree, go through that gruesome training, and your degree and your salary, your salary is going to be $294,000. That makes the whole that makes policing a career of choice, right?
Yep.
That makes that you then recruit and you then get the your candidate,
the best of the best,
the best of the best, and yep. And I'm actually going to be like, all right, if you pay somebody $59,000. That's what we get. We get fucking dollarama service. Our doctors are fucking efficient and they are consistent because of the education they have to support it, right? And now we're out here, one of the most important jobs in our community, and they're not even getting paid enough. That's why I think maybe if they had the 4-year degrees, the requirement that's necessary, the funding to actually back it up. Like, you guys are going to go through this. We're going to pay you this much. So you have no room to fuck it up. You know what I mean? You ever been into a group and like, this is just volunteering, so I'm only giving 80%.
Yep.
They're showing up to work like, I'm only getting 60K. I'm giving you 70%. Because here's the thing. Police officers, right? And sorry if I'm pointing. It's just because it gets me hyped up. But like, here's the thing. Police officers should be like military people.
Exactly.
They should be like soldiers. Listen, they should be leaving their house expecting they might not come back home. But police officers nowadays, they leave their house knowing they come back home. That's a fucking big difference. So when they're put into a situation, they put themselves before when their job should be to protect and serve. And that's where I'm not comfortable with, right? Because now with the a little bit of glimpse of danger to them, right, from what we've seen, they instead of actually treating it the right way, where their life might be at risk, they put ours in threat. So
that's very interesting. You know you're setting yourself up for a dangerous job, right? That's the job you chose, right? Mm-hmm. You chose to be a police officer. So for you to be scared of someone because they have Skittles, or scared of someone because he has a gun in his car that's registered and he does everything that he's supposed to do. Mm-hmm. But with his daughter in the car, I'm still going to slaughter you because I fear for my life.
Right. It's not okay.
How do you draw the line? And the fact that, the police officer that just killed George, he got out.
Mm-hmm.
He's offered on bail. What's going on? The other three, they just got a slap on the wrist for aiding and abetting.
Which is crazy to me. If I went and robbed a bank and I was driving the bank, but I wasn't the one with the mask and the gun, you gonna take me to jail too.
Yep. And if you're with a white guy, you're gonna get a heavier sentence.
Facts. Yeah. Not only do I think they need the degree, but I think their training year to year needs to be updated. Like my parents were in the military. They have to go to the field 4 or 5 times a year because it has to simulate training, right? They go to the desert and they go live out there. Like, it's to simulate training. So I don't understand, like, the police force in Minnesota, they had 200 complaints in a year. Like, that 200 complaints, bro, and then I think only 12 saw action. Like, that's crazy. That lets me know that things are happening, and then you're seeing them, and you're not doing anything about it.
They don't care.
It's bad. It's really bad.
They're so nonchalant. Just like, just another one dead. Just another one. It's fine. Just bury him.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, there's going to be a certain time when people stop being so peaceful.
Right.
We're past that.
It's like when people talk about violence, it is incredible because the person who's asking the question has no idea of what Black people have gone through for that many years. Like, you know what I mean? Sometimes people are like, why the fuck did, like, it's like poking a bear. How many times are you going to poke the bear before it bites back? How many
times is it going to react?
Right. And it's Michael, I know you know a lot about this, but it's kind of like every time I hear like, do you guys have to do the rioting and the looting? Every time I hear that, I'm like, you don't know enough. You know what I mean? Because everybody's been pushed to the point where they had to lash out.
Oh my goodness. Right?
Number one, it wasn't just black people looting. Let's get that straight.
Straight up. 100%.
When there was people at Hot Topic and Vans in California, there was no niggas out there. Excuse my French. Sorry. But like, that's not black people. So there's incidences of undercover police officers
doing the dumbest shit.
Leaving piles of bricks in front of buildings. They're out there in tactical gear. They're actually starting the riot. So for somebody to criticize that and not even criticize the whole picture, you're just looking at the black people protesting and then you're associating everything that's happening because of the protest with that. I'm like, 2 weeks ago, these white people were marching on the Capitol with...
No, because they want haircuts. Because they had
because they wanted to risk the safety of everybody in public health. They didn't want to wear a mask. And nobody said nothing about that. Donald Trump, nobody said nothing about that. He called them good citizens. So for somebody to criticize that and not even look at the whole scope of what we're protesting, that is a problem to me. Because it isn't just about it. It's about police brutality, but it's more, and it's racism too, but it's more of like the systemic racism. Listen, black people, our unemployment rate is super low. You know what I mean? We're uneducated and we ain't complaining about nothing, but now that we stood up for the fact that we've been getting killed by the people that are supposed to protect us, that we pay with tax dollars, that's an issue. And that's a problem I have with people that are criticizing the riots and stuff. It's like, we've gone through a lot and we ain't saying nothing and we just want to not get killed for being normal and we're getting killed and you're mad because we're responding to it. That's crazy to me.
Man, if we start hitting everything, how much times your teacher tell you, yep, you're not going to go to university? Yep, you know what I'm saying. Yeah. That's education. That's from when we first started like school. Mm-hmm. Yep, you're not smart enough. You should drop down. Well, if it wasn't for my mother, I would have dropped down a whole bunch of courses.
Right.
But that mentality of constantly, you're not good enough. I'm gonna bring it down. This is from like grade two and up.
Grade two, the straight like not even grade two and up. It's literally from kindergarten, right? It's literally, I saw my little sister grow up. I saw how the other race treat her. I saw how they treat black families, right? They're like, if a white kid doesn't do well, what I would see is like, Timmy's not doing well in school. You guys need to push him. He's a bright kid.
Yep.
If the black kid doesn't do well, it's like,
oh, that's just
another. It's just another one. It's just, it's all like,
right. You tried.
It's Jamal.
He's doing his best, right?
Forget it. We're so content with mediocrity, and it's actually sad.
It's like Michael said earlier. It's like, man, it's time for the community to get together and start working together, pushing each other to do better, to grow together, so we can be in the position of power. Because we're not. You know what I mean? We're not. And like you guys always seen the memes, the posts where it's like, oh, somebody says I just got promoted into my position at blah blah blah, 300 likes, right?
Yep.
And then you have that one friend who's like, man, I just started my own company, 6 likes. Shit, what's the difference? One of them is being employed and being pushed to like fucking sweat equity, like Michael said, by a white man, right? Yep. When the other one's like, I'm trying to do something different with that could help my people as well. And what happens is that the people are shying away, right?
They stay shitting on him because, oh yeah, if I can't get a free ride off you, then it doesn't make sense. You're working there, let me get your discount.
Why does that have to be right? Man, it's like Sakani, I rate you the most out of everybody because since I've actually started my clothing brand, you never ever asked for a discount and you probably own the most clothes. That's you know what I mean? And you understood that and I didn't have to tell you that. And some people that I know is like, all right, you own it, then I should be able to get $5, $10, $15, like, give me the Discord. It's like, no, it's not about that. You're taking $5, $10.
You support all these big-name brands, and you're all, oh, let me take your tax money. Let me go get some. Bro, you have your same black friends that are making their own business. Why don't you support them?
Exactly. Straight up.
And that's why I think these riots and things are important, because those questions and things we're talking about, that wasn't being mentioned before all this happened, right? Yeah. Especially the Gen Z. I'm a millennial. I'm 25. But the Gen Z, they just know racism, but they don't know the intricacies of it. And I'm not saying they have to know everything, but now questions and things are starting to be brought out to the light that would have never been brought out to the light if this wouldn't have happened. And mm-hmm. I think this is the start of a revolution. Obviously, shit's not going to happen in 20, 30 years. But we're going to have to start building some real generational wealth and developing some resources. Like, we're never going to be equal socially until we're equal economically. That's why the owner of BET, Bob Johnson, you see he's asking for $14 trillion from the government right now in reparations. He's saying, like, you're saying we're equal. Well, then give us our reparations. Like, we built the country. Like, them white people, they weren't building the roads. They weren't picking the cotton. Right? None of that. We did all that in the South. The economy was booming because they had slaves in the South. That's why Lincoln freed the slaves, because the North was complaining and saying, the economy's bad because you have free labor and we don't. So free the slaves. That's why they went to war. It had nothing to do with Lincoln liking black people. He had slaves too.
Right. I love that knowledge, man. I appreciate you dropping this shit, man. So, like, as I'm wrapping up this episode a little bit, I do want to say this, right? Save Me, Save We, the mission that we've had about mental health is humanizing mental health is a key to, is a remedy to the stigma, is what I've been saying, right? So, teaching people that, man, people who have bipolar disease or schizophrenia, there are people too, people with mental illnesses. If you shed lights on these problems and educate them, you will see you have nothing to fear, right? And the media, just the way they portrayed people with a mental illness to be dangerous and crazy, is the same way they portrayed black people to be rapists, to be dangerous, to be drug dealers, right? So they criminalized us. And I have one thing, I thought I was going to wrap it up, but I'm like, you know what? I have a note here that I need to share real quick. So the fact that interracial rape in the United States is far more marked by white rape against black women is crazy, right? So think about that. I'm going to say that again. Interracial rape in the United States is far more marked by white rape against black women than it is a black race against white. But yet again, every time we're putting it, like the when they see us, I believe that's what it is. No, the yeah, right? The case where the eight black men's in New York, right? So so it's kind of like they were. How long were they in prison for? 6 to 12 years. Come on now. It's kind of like the way the media portrays us now. That's how, oh man, they must have done it, because that's how that is. It's almost ingrained in them.
You know what's crazy? If you just take in the media, because there's like a whole bunch of media efforts, but you look at all the media, no matter what thing, if you look at all the black cases, they find the worst stories about them, the worst of the worst. I mean, there's a white person. Oh, look at this good fella, that dude that just killed the Charleston killer, took that motherfucker to Burger King.
Man, hey, listen, bro. We had a shooting in El Paso last summer, a mass shooting. We had some guy drive from Dallas, Texas. He drove 8 hours and shot up a Walmart. He killed like 25 people, and he got taken in alive.
Alive?
Damn. Yeah, he got taken in alive.
Bro, you shot Tamir Rice for having a BB gun.
Yeah, man, like.
What are you talking about?
That's what I'm
volumes.
Right, and then what they're going to say is, like, Timmy is just – I'm sorry for anybody's kids named Timmy, but, like, they're going to be like, Timmy is just a troubled, young, good guy, right? That's how they're going to portray him in the media, and that's what's driving me nuts, right? As if the crime that he just did doesn't speak volume into
– justifies.
Yeah, it does. It just doesn't make sense.
To go back to the media, like you said, remember I told you about ownership?
Yeah.
They criminalize us in the media because we don't own the media. Bro, even if you look at certain, like, football players and stuff like that, look at how they respond, how they describe us. Savages. He's athletically inclined. They never call us the smart person or none of that. Yep. Like, bro, even look at the quarterback, the history of African quarterbacks in the NFL, bro. It's the same thing. He's a runner, but can he think and play the game? Not like that kid. That kid's a natural leader right there. You see, like, it's this mind game that they've been playing with us, man. It's bad. It's so bad, bro.
It's terrible. But, like, going on about that, like, how much times as a kid you had a gun drawn you by the police, right? So it's just like that. It's not even just like impact. That's so traumatizing as a child that it's just like, whoa, violence. Okay, so everything I do is just quick to violence.
Mm-hmm.
That chain reaction is crazy.
Man. I've had friends actually. I've seen police officers escalate a situation that they had under control. And my friends actually get beat up by the police and get probation. My friend got home to his house. They had a domestic dispute call. So when he pulled up, the police were already there. So he's freaking out because he has no knowledge about the situation. And he's basically like, what's going on? What's going on? Police, I don't know. He took it wrong. I'm in the car watching this. He took it wrong. And then, mind you, there's four or five officers there. It's just him, and he's a skinny dude. And they took it wrong. They literally didn't whoop his ass, but they whooped his ass to the point where I was like, bro, I wanted to help you, but I ain't trying to get my ass whooped too. And
bro, he ended up getting 5 years
of probation. He got 5 years of probation for just got off.
Thing is, like, even with the video with George, right?
Right. Now, let's talk about that real quick. Yeah. I think I know where you're going.
No, I mean, we're watching him. We're watching. People are pleading, get off him. He can't breathe. And instead of like, yo, sometimes you have to sacrifice yourself because you're watching someone be murdered. Mm-hmm. And you ain't doing shit. You just recorded. You're watching someone be murdered.
I had an interesting conversation with two people, right? One of them being white, a white person who's so I actually, before I even go on to this, for the white people who are listening to this, right now, there used to be a time in history where it was okay not to be racist, right? But now we're at a point in history where you're either not racist or you're anti-racist. So when you're put into a situation where you need to step up and protect and say what's right, that's the side you need to choose on. So it's not okay just to be, oh, I'm not racist anymore. You need to be not anti-racist or get off this movement. All right. So this person who's like, all right, so I'm anti-racist, but to what extent do I go into helping somebody before my life is also in danger, right? And then I had the same conversation where a black person was like, so what do I do? My life will be just as much in danger. So what do you guys think is the right approach if you were to be in a situation where somebody's held down? Because I've been held down, my hands behind my back. In public, there's maybe 80, 90 people. I have my friends throwing fists, trying to do everything to say he didn't do anything. They wouldn't let us in because we're black, really. And then they said I wouldn't pay $5. That's to the pint for the people who are in Halifax. Boycott the pint. But let's be honest. My friends, they went straight to violence. I appreciate that. They said, I either go down with Junior or I'm out of there, right? So yeah. I want you guys to know, would be like, to what extent do you go?
Go ahead. I'm at the point where like, I'm ready. Like, if this is what you guys are down for, like, I'm ready for battle. Let's bounce. Like, you guys, I'm not playing no mercy game. I'm not playing. If I see you killing someone, one of my brothers, bro, we are going at it. That retaliation is like, you gave up human rights.
Right. Sure. And that's why, hey, honest, that's why I hang out with you, Sakani, all right? Because I know you're backing those words up. And it's like, I told some of my friends who said, hey, are we going to go out when bars go back open? I said,
where?
Last year, my life was in danger, right? And I don't think you would protect me if it was to happen again. And I said, we can go to public places, right? Where we're all going to be, there's going to be daylight and things like that. But when it comes to putting myself where there might be cops and people intoxicated and stuff, I got to roll with the people who are also, if I was to be in a dangerous situation, they're going to put themselves in a dangerous situation as well. So it's real life now at this point, right? Like we decide who we go out with the people who think will go down with us. So Mike, I don't know, jump on the subject.
I think moving forward, like, obviously I've never been in a situation. That was different because we were younger. But if I was in that situation now, I'm definitely, I got to jump in, bro. I don't even care for somebody I know or don't know. I could not sit there and see that happen and my conscience be all right. Even the girl who filmed it, she's battling like some mental problems.
Yeah, no, like, but they try to drag her just for recording it.
Right.
The that she got so many death threats, so many things just for showing light of what they're, all the fuck that they're doing. Right?
Yeah. She a female too, so I get it. Like, you see four.
I do not condemn anybody who. Here's the thing, though. It's kind of. Here's another conversation I had, though. She is a female, right? She's yelling for her life, like, stop him. He said he can't breathe. He can't breathe, right? She's doing the most she can, right? In that situation. So honestly, I'm not mad that she didn't go punch a police officer.
Absolutely.
Right? That lady might have kids. That lady has, like, I do not, like, you know what she did. Thank I'm thankful because she enlightened the situation. Now, here's the difference, though. It's the fact that she was a black woman, correct? It's the fact that it's a black woman yelling for a black life, right? So the fact that it's a, if there's five black people yelling, hey, save the life of my own, that white man doesn't give a fuck. But if 30 white people are yelling, let this guy breathe, let this guy go, blah, 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 it has a lot more meaning. Oh, whether it's two people or 30.
Big impact if a white person said, hey, stop.
Stop it. And look, if a white person had the same amount of energy she did, right, then the white cop who's like, man, they care. These white people care for the life of this black person. It's a lot different than a black person caring for the life of this black person. So that in that situation, I feel like the cops would have had a personal, would have had a different response.
The issue with that is white people like to be black when it's convenient.
Oh, facts.
You know what I mean? When it's easy for them. Oh, but, yeah, let me buzz. Let me listen to that, all the music. Let me put out the braids.
But that's what I'm trying to say right now. Like, it's not, like, I'm telling you, white people, it's not time to be not racist anymore. It's time to be anti-racist. You know, when it's not fucking convenient.
That's why I think the riots are so important, because I think a white supremacist's worst fear is to see all these white kids screaming Black Lives Matter. I think it speaks volumes. And you know what? I know a lot of the energy isn't necessarily real. In a month from now, we're going to see who's actually trying to make change.
Yep.
But the 100%.
Fact that they're here with us now, we've never had this much support from them before.
We never had this much.
And I appreciate it a lot. All that solidarity, I love it.
And that's what I'm saying. I think moving forward, it's either going to show that you're with us or you're not. It's no more in the middle, because I feel like we all are finally addressing this giant elephant in the room. Like, we know this has been going on, but now this is the lid's off. Everybody's talking about it. Either you're on this side of the fence or you're on that side of the fence, and choose your side. So now I feel like, no, for real, bro. And I think that's the benefit of the protest and the riot. Mm-hmm. Obviously, I want justice, but the fact that we're actually having this conversation, bro, we couldn't talk like this 2 months ago, bro.
Nope.
Right.
With all this happening, I have so many white people just hitting me up, like, telling me their feelings. I'm like, why are you talking to me about this? Tell your white counterparts so they can understand how what's going on. Mm-hmm. See the person as a human. I got in an argument this morning, literally. And I was just like, bro, why are you messaging me stuff to debunk or to say this thing is voided, or the stats say there's only 17 people killed, 17 black people killed. That's only 1.3%.
Why? That's the thing that says black. I said earlier, black people are getting killed, but
just because it's 1.3% people more, apparently that's been killed unarmed. That's just what they reported. 17.
Man, I have people asking me, like, yesterday, last night, people on the street, since this happened, I had a lady at the store bow to me. You guys had me on social media, and I made it. I was like, whoa, whoa, this is too much. I understand your solidarity, but this is not the way to go about it, right? She literally bowed to me and took a knee. I wish I could make this up. I am not. But here's the thing. I'm having people come up to me and be like, so, like, living in Canada, are you actually afraid when you get arrested? Bro, I feel uncomfortable. Like, here's the thing. It's like, today I put into gas, right? I'm like, I could either go straight, go into the street and take a left, or I could take a left and then take another left, right? I don't know if that made any sense, right? But the parking lot of the gas station is on a corner. All right, let's just say that. And then I see there's a cop car right there. But I see the cop car when I already made my decision to go the other way. And that scared me. That scared the fuck out of me. Yep. I'm like, this cop car is going to be like, he's running away from me. And why do I have those thoughts? I shouldn't have those thoughts. So for the next two blocks, I was like, I'm getting pulled over. Why? Because I did nothing illegal, but the fact that I felt like I was running away from him.
Let me ask you a question. When you're driving and you see a cop, I make sure I go right behind him, because you can't pull me over if I'm behind you.
I don't pass them unless I have to.
No,
I ain't passing them. You ain't seen my plates. I don't need this problem today.
Bro, like, from like before, here's the thing about being a black man in Nova Scotia is that we are in a very tough situation. Just less than a month ago, I honestly was in my car and I actually almost wanted to cry. I was like, bro, if I was to get pulled over right now, I don't know if the cop is legitimate because of the incident that just happened where there was a fake RCMP who dressed up, a person who dressed up RCMP, pulled over people, was killing people, a mass shooting, right? I don't know if you heard about that, Mike, right? No, so, man. So here's the thing. So now I don't know if you're real or not. And then if you are real, am I life and safety? So I was really in my car, like, I think I want to go home because I don't know what I would do in this situation. And I told myself in that moment, if I was to get pulled over, I would not stop in a corner where there's not, if it's not a convenience store in public. That's what I told myself. So that whole, so for the next 3-4 days, I was driving and I'm like, if I get pulled over, I have to, I would not stop on the side of the highway. I would have to keep going until
there's enough. You gotta go where the cameras are.
Exactly.
Yo, the other day I got, someone called the cops because I went for a jog. Literally, like 2 weeks after we were dealing with Ahmad. I'm just like, that's what's going on? I looked at that cop, I was just like, kissed my teeth and I left. And then I broke down because I'm like, yo, I could have died over running.
A jog.
A simple jog. And now, like, anytime I see a person jogging, I'm just happy, minding their business. I'm like, yo, must be nice. Yeah. Just, must be nice. You look real carefree. You look real peaceful.
just to add to what you were saying, Junior, like, yeah, I went to the Canadian brew house out here and I just have just random white people asking me about it. And I have to be very careful how I answer because I want to educate them. I don't want to dismiss it like, well, you're not anti-racist. You feel me? Because I feel like not a lot of white people here have encounters with black people that know what they're talking about. So I'm very cautious on how I respond to that answer. And I try to enlighten them on it so they can kind of see it, the whole picture, instead of just saying like, yeah, we march it because they racist against us. They are, but it's like, you need a little more information so you can make that decision. Because I mean, there's always going to be racist, bro. Like,
but no, you're right. Like when, if you are put in a situation and if you have time, honestly, it's not, If you feel like one day you don't have time, it's not your duty to educate everybody, no, right?
Facts.
But if you feel like you have time and you can approach the situation, do it and educate them. Because a lot of people I'm surrounded by, right? They didn't know they were anti-racist or they were, because they were just never educated. So if it's, so right now, all the people who are coming up to me, I'm bringing them to light. I'm bringing them closer to the light, right? Mm-hmm. And it's like, they're not being, what's that word where it's like ignorant? They just don't know. Like these people are, a lot of white people right now legitimately don't know. And they're like, man, I did not know. And they feel terrible, right? And it's like, and for those people, I'm like, yes, I will help you. I want to help you.
Oh,
because they don't know, right? So there's all this energy going around and I'm like, I hope this energy is going to stay the same, that we're going to move forward, moving on, because then we might see actual change. But yeah.
Yeah, bro. I agree exactly what you said about the energy. And I was telling people that on Instagram. I made a little post and I was basically saying, like, it's cool to have all this energy in the midst of the fire, but let's try to control it and contain it and move it forward. Like, obviously we want justice, but like, y'all, let's start making change. It's the little stuff, right? Like educating yourself on our history, buying a few more black products, and enlightening your family and, you know, people around you that are just oblivious to it. Same thing here in Alberta, bro. Some of these people, like, I don't think they're racist or anti or whatever their case may be, but I just think they're just unaware, bro. There's no black people out here. All the black people here, they kind of stick to themselves and do their own thing, but the white people, they don't really understand what we deal with. So, like, I'm kind of sympathetic because they just don't know. Do I think it's my duty? Absolutely not. Like, they should police themselves, but I do understand that you're unaware of it.
So, right. So I just want to finish on this. So somebody asked me about the last episode, because like I said, these people are unaware of the situation, right? So what Black Lives Matter is a moment about the question of whose life do we recognize as valuable, right? So when we say Black Lives Matter, it's Black people, our life have value. That's what that means. You know what I mean? And and I saw a picture where it's like Black Lives Matters, and that's the minimum. I love that picture. I don't know if you guys see that picture.
That's all you want is to matter.
Right.
It doesn't matter what, like, race, sex, or creed you are. As long as you're black, I want to be able to be walking without the cops pulling a gun on me for no reason.
Mm-hmm.
Because I fit the description.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
It's 100%. Tough. It's tough because a lot of people right now, like, they're pretending to be our allies and they're not. So I'm very hesitant to kind of like, I'm with the Black Lives Matter, but I also see a lot of wolves and sheep clothing over there. Mm-hmm. A lot, man. They're starting to gentrify it a lot. A lot of people making a lot of money off it. So I'm very, very cautious with that. But absolutely, bro. We're just, America and North America will never be right until you make Black people equal. It's just what it is.
Facts. Okay, so I'm going to finish on this, and then I'm going to wrap it up, all right? So there has never been a period in history where modern operation did not exploit or operate against the freedom and liberty of Black people in our communities. Never a single time in history, right? So why, for the people who are not confused or who are confused about this movement, why would it change now, right? That is the reason why we're fighting, because it has never changed since the beginning of time. So Michael Sakani, I freaking appreciate you guys coming in, dropping that knowledge and sharing this conversation. I appreciate it big time.
Sir, you know the vibes, bro. Yeah,
love, love. Man, so let's stay in contact and stay in touch. Let's make sure to keep up with our mental health, man, because it is crazy times. And if you guys don't know each other, add each other on social media. Both of you guys offer great stuff. Michael, I will hop on your podcast. Let's do this. All right, man. See you guys.
Nice meeting you, bro.
You too, man.
That is it for episode number 3 of Home But Not Alone. I truly hope you enjoyed it and got to learn a lot of information. Feel free to message us, contact us on Facebook, Instagram, or even on our website if you have any questions or want to comment on this podcast. We will be doing a written fact check, and that will be posted on our website, so make sure to go check that out. If you ever want to support us, feel free to check us out at SaveMeSaveWe.com, as we are a social enterprise looking to increase mental health literacy and mental health awareness in our communities. We have a great selection of clothing items, workshops, podcasts, and web series for you to go through. We truly want to thank you guys for taking the time of listening to this podcast, and we hope to see you guys on the next episode of Home But Not Alone.